sentence. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. That's even worse than me. Whose temple are you? All right. So at the end of that passage, it talked about honoring God with your body because your body belongs to Jesus. If you follow Jesus, you need to honor God with your body. Right? That's kind of the gist of what we talked about last week, yeah? There we go, we got one yes. All right. Somebody was listening, or she just wants me to feel good. Okay, so this week we are... Oh, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles at the back. So you can grab a Bible. Just so you know, on the way in, that's our kind of regular thing. There's a stack of Bibles, you can grab one. If you don't have one, you can look on with the person beside you. And you can go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. It's on page 706. Yep. Okay. So once you get to page 706, or also known as Ephesians chapter 5, you can put your finger in it. Nice. We'll get there in a second. Just put your finger in that page. We'll continue with kind of getting you up to speed from last week. Okay. Has everybody got it? Excellent. So, because your body belongs to God, let's back up a little bit. I got to ask you a question to see if you guys were really listening last week. Why does your body belong to God if you follow Jesus? Okay, but more specifically, what we talked about last week, that is true. Why does your body belong to Jesus if you follow Jesus? Why does your body belong to God? What's up with that? He bought it! Who said that? For what, like 10 bucks? No? His blood. So he just gave some blood? Back in the back corner here. Austin, I heard you say something. I didn't quite catch that, but something about God wanting me to have a body. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's along the right lines. Yeah, Brandon. We're not there yet. We're talking about last week still. Thanks for listening, though. 706, yeah. Why does our body belong to God if you follow Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. So what did he do? He bought it, right? That was the right, but he paid for it, right? What did 1 Corinthians say? He bought it at a high price, right? And the price was his son. Jesus died for our bodies, or who we are, not just our physical bodies. He died for us, right? And so now, when you become a follower of Jesus, your body becomes his temple. And a temple is a place of worship, right? So your body becomes this place of worship that's dedicated to God. So that's what we talked about last week. This week is part two. So then we're going to go into the book of Ephesians. All right. So, chapter 5. Starting at verse 3. Can you guys all find that? It's living in the light. You can go down a couple verses and there's a little 3 and there's a let. That's where we're starting. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Now, if you haven't been with us for the last 5 weeks, we've been talking about relationships that honor God. We've been talking about sex sporadically throughout them. Today, we're going to be talking about sexual immorality. Now, I'm going to throw this out there. Who knows what that is? Caleb. Whoops. I'm sorry, dude. I shouldn't have asked you. Okay. All right. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's right. I can't disagree with that. Can we be a little bit more specific? Sexual immorality. You know, we're throwing out that term today, so we want to define it. What is that? Okay, it's being sexually immoral, but let's expand. What does that mean? Zach? Okay, well, not quite. Let's expand on that, Bradley. Using sex in a way that's not glorifying to God. Nice. That's like better than I said it. I got to write that down for next time, right? Using your body in a way, using sex in a way that God hasn't designed it for, right? So rejecting God's design for sex and using it in your own way. So whatever Bradley said, it was way better. Right. Okay. So when you hear this term in the Bible, I want you guys to think about this. Let's think about sexual immorality as God's junk box. Okay? You know, I got a box in my garage, and it's full of junk. It's not junk like garbage that I throw away, although my wife would tell me it is. It's like full of wires and you know, just odds and ends that I can't throw it away because I might need that, right? So that's what I figure. She knows I'll probably never have to use it. But as soon as I throw it away, I know I'll need something from that box. But anyway, there's tons of just odds and ends in there. And so in the same way, when the Bible uses the word sexual immorality, it's like God's junk box of all sorts of different things that dishonor God in regards to sex, that go against what God has designed sex for. So that's the kind of the way I want you guys to think. So who can, if we were thinking about some of these things, this might be a hard question. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. But let's just list some things. What if you're thinking of sexual immorality, we're thinking of God's junk box. It's like a ton of stuff. Let's put some names to this stuff. Like, what is it? Some specific examples of sexual immorality. Pornography, okay. Cheating on your wife, adultery, you betcha. Zach. Having sex before you're married, you betcha. Outside of marriage, right? Yes. Oh, yeah? Yeah, that would qualify for sure. Okay, Caleb.
Prostitution.
Yeah, totally. It's like people wandering in going like, what in the world are they talking about? Anybody else? Sexual immorality. Let's put some names to some of the things we're thinking about. Is that everybody's guess now? Anybody else want to kind of throw some stuff out there? Yeah. Okay. Homosexuality. Using sex in a way that God hasn't designed it for, right? What? Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, for sure. All right. So I want to broaden this definition for you guys. Because it's a junk box, God, in his word, he uses this expression quite a bit. I won't go into what the Greek is. You guys won't remember. Well, the Greek word is porneia, okay? That's actually where the word pornography comes from. It comes from that Greek root. So here's some of the things. You guys listed some of them. But can I just throw this out there? What sexual immorality is it's anything that causes evil, sinful desires in regards to sex in our hearts. Okay? That's how broad this term is used in the scripture. It's not just specifically about having sex in a bad way. And I'm gonna broaden it for you right now. So, obviously, pornography, right? I mean, that's obvious, right? It's not a way to honor God with your life, with your eyes, with your, you know, the temple that he lives in, to getting involved in pornography or watching pornography or anything like that. But I want to broaden that as well. Here's the deal. 60 or 70 years ago, pornography was around. It was kind of, I can't say if it was, you know, I haven't done the study, so I don't know if it was emerging, but I'm just guessing. It was starting to become more open, let's say. If you compare magazines like Maxim, FHM, and some of these other gentlemen's magazines, the pictures and the stuff in those magazines are actually more provocative than like 50, 60 years ago, like the hardcore porn. Okay, so this is where our society has traveled over this last. What's that? The magazines like FHM, Maxim. There's a whole bunch, right? You see them in the stores. You could go even with like, Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition kind of deal. The images that are in those magazines are more provocative than porn was, like the hardcore porn 50 to 60 years ago. Like this is nuts, right? Like wow, that you can just buy. Anybody can buy that. You don't have to be a major to buy it. You could be a minor to buy that kind of stuff. The problem with it is it invokes in us lust. When we see those images, when we see those provocative poses, lust is the result in our heart, especially for guys. Okay, I've never been a woman, and I don't plan to be. But so I can't see that through your eyes, but I know what it does to boys. Okay, totally. I mean, try walking past one of those magazine racks without looking, and you know, you're kind of like, whoa, you know, you're walking into stuff. It's like, because it calls out to you. It's something in us. Now there's, you know what? Before we continue, I gotta explain. How much time do I got? Yeah, I got time. I gotta explain something. There's two kinds of lust. Because you guys know what lust is?
Yeah.
Really simple. Let's go with desire. Okay? Let's start the root of this lust. Desire. Now, desire in and of itself isn't bad. Okay? God has wired us. When God said, go and multiply and fill the earth, he wired us to have these desires for one another and those desires to be fulfilled in marriage. The problem came when sin came into the world. And this desire, remember when we talked about God's gifts? He gives us great gifts. And when we use them in a way that's dishonoring to him, they become sin. Well, these desires, these lustful desires in us, when they're fulfilled in marriage, are actually honoring to God. But when they're fulfilled outside of marriage and against God's design for sex, then they're destructive and they become sinful. So there's two kinds of desires, right? There's sinful lust and this healthy desire that God places in our hearts and in our beings for our wives, or if you're a wife, for your husband. So those are healthy and those are honoring to God. And this might be the first time you've heard it explained like that. But this is important because this is the picture that the Bible gave us, right? If we go back a few weeks ago, we talked about God's design in the garden, right? We talked about how everything that God made was good. In fact, at the end of Genesis chapter 1, I believe, it says, or chapter 2, it says, and it was very good. Everything God had made was very good. Okay, let's keep going. So, here's some things. Lustful fantasies. You guys heard of Friends with Benefits? Yeah. He's like, oh yeah, me. No, sorry. That's not what, sorry, Austin. if you don't know what that is, that's awesome. Basically, it's somebody who wants to be your friend, but not really. They want your body and not your friendship. Sex before marriage, we talked about homosexuality, coarse sexual humor, which is what we're going to get into in a second here, inappropriate texting or sexting. That's in the junk box, by the way. And any kind of oral sex, like, here's the thing. I've been a youth pastor a long time, and I've had people argue with me about what sexual immorality is. Usually their stance isn't from the Bible. It's from the stance that, well, I want to do this because I like it. I don't care what God says about it. And so that's my argument. I'm like, okay. Well, here's the argument is sexual immorality as God's junk box includes everything that invokes these lustful desires in us. And so, any kind of oral sex, anal sex, groping, I'm sorry for grade sevens, like, if this is just kind of, you know, whatever, if this is beyond you, that's fine, I'm sorry. Anything that causes sinful lust, okay? We're broadening this box, and now when we read what God has to say about sexual immorality, I want you guys to be thinking, this is a big box. There's a lot of stuff in here. Let's continue reading. We did the first sentence so far in the first 10 minutes. This could be a long one. All right, let's keep going here. In fact, we'll start at the beginning. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Now, in another translation, in the New International Version, it says, and I actually like this better, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Not even a hint. This is huge, because look at our culture. We've talked about the god of sex in our culture and how our culture worships the god of sex. It's all around us. This is very difficult. This is a hard teaching. Believe me, I struggle with this myself. This is hard teaching, not even a hint. Such sins have no place among God's people. And here he's starting to explain the junk box. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. These are not for you. So right now, we're pretty much all of us are guilty, right? So don't feel bad that, oh man, I'm the only one that's here that's guilty. Maybe I should go home. Don't think like that. All of us, I've only read the first two paragraphs, or actually not even the first paragraph, and all of us are lumped into the same category. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all screwed up already. So let's keep reading. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Now, is this not an odd statement? Instead of obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Does those things seem like opposites to you? Yes? No? I wouldn't consider them opposites, kind of. You know, if I was thinking of the opposite of thankfulness or the opposite of coarse joking, maybe clean joking, I don't know, right? But thankfulness, why do you think he would put that in there? Any thoughts on that? Why is the opposite of these things thankfulness? How does that work? Anybody? Clayton? Nice. Awesome. One answer. Wham, right down the pipe. Yeah. Of course, joking, for guys, it's usually, at least guys my age, it's usually about their wives or about, you know, sexual things, and it degrades women. For the ladies, I mean, you guys probably do the same thing. I don't know, I've not been in on a coarse joking, you know, little ladies talk. I haven't experienced that. But I know it's happened. I've actually had to talk to a few ladies in my office, young ladies, about the way they were talking to each other and stuff like that. I know it's there. And what it does, see, we go back again, about 4 weeks ago, we talked about being made in God's image. And the reason why coarse joking and all these obscene talk, it degrades what God has made us to be. It degrades the image of God that he's placed in us. So we don't coarse joke. It hurts the opposite sex. It degrades them. It puts them down. That's what this foolish talk, these coarse jokes, that's what they do. And I've heard the excuse, seriously, I've heard the excuse from some kids a few years ago, that, but it's funny. And so I'm like, oh, so then it's okay? So if you think killing people is funny, then it's okay? And they're like, well, no, that's not funny. And I'm like, well, maybe to somebody it is. But it's like, because it's funny somehow, you know, entertainment is such a high value in our society that because it's funny, it's okay. It's not. It's something we need to walk away from. It's something that we need to leave behind. Coarse joking, it's not good. Like, it's hurtful. And I used to be really guilty of this until I met my wife. And she was really sensitive to some of the stuff because of some of her past. And it kind of woke me up to, I thought we were joking because, you know, I'm friends with girls and, you know, but it was actually hurtful. And I was like, I was kind of shocked. I'm like, oh, and guys, we're kind of stupid, right? When it comes to that kind of stuff and hurting girls' feelings. Yeah. The ladies are like, mm-hmm. Yep. The guys are like, what? What are you talking about? Speak about yourself. Okay, let's keep going. Oh no, we got to explain. Why is it the opposite of thankfulness? Well, right down the lines of what Clayton said, we're showing unthankfulness to how God has made us and to being made in his image. But more so than that, this stuff does not honor God. And as Christians, we're supposed to honor God with our speech, with our bodies, with our whole beings, the way we act, what we do, what we think. Everything about us is supposed to honor God. Like, that's one of the purposes of your life as a Christian, is to honor God with everything you do and who you are. And so by doing this, it's like, I'm unthankful for what Jesus has done for me. I'm unthankful that God has created me in his image. I'm unthankful for what Jesus has done for me, and I'm degrading and sinning against these people. Okay, now it's like 20 minutes. We've got to go. We got to keep moving. All right. Okay, and this is even harder. Verse 5. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, and this is the explanation of what an idolater is, worshiping the things of this world. That's some pretty hard teaching. That people who live like this, who reject God's view of sex and run after sexual immorality, that God is actually says that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ. That's scary. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all those who disobey him. Okay, it doesn't get any better in this passage, right? Again, really difficult. Are you serious? Yeah. See, there's going to be people who are going to say, there might even be some of you here going after, you're going to go like, yeah, whatever. Well, we can joke whatever we want. You know, this is just whatever. Well, this is exactly the person he's talking about. He said, don't be fooled by that person who's trying to excuse the things that they're doing here. Don't be fooled. Because the consequences, remember, that we just talked about, being excluded from God's kingdom, from Christ's kingdom, that's nasty. That's like some harsh consequences. So Paul is like, you know, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. These guys, they're going to excuse what they're doing, and they're going to laugh it off, and they're going to keep doing it, and they're going to tell you you're an idiot for not doing it and joining in. But don't be fooled by that. Don't participate in these things, in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light of the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good, right, and true. So this light that is in you is Christ. He's the one that's living in you. Everything about Jesus is right and righteous and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. So basically, Paul just sums this everything we've just said. This is the reason. This is why we don't involve ourselves in foolish talk, obscene things, pornography, all these things that we listed. This is why. Because we need to carefully determine what pleases God. Because as a Christian, this is what you do. If you're a follower of Jesus, you want to please him. In another place, Paul talks about followers of Jesus being like soldiers, wanting to please their commanding officer. You don't want to displease your commanding officer, am I right? Some of you come from military families, right? It's kind of a bad deal when you displease the officers. You want to please them, right? That's pretty obvious. You know, if you work a job, you want to please your boss because your boss has the power to give you raises. He has the power to fire you. He has the power to, move you up from doing fries to flipping burgers, you know? He's got the power, right? I got two things. The first is our live entertainment. I'm just going, sorry, Darcy, that's a horrible way to start it. Just hold on a second. I got to kind of lead up to it a little bit. Remember last week we talked about the things that we allow into our minds? Well, this is, again, Paul reminding us, be careful what you allow into your mind, because your mind is part of your body. This is part of the temple that belongs to Jesus. And so here's some of the things that we do quite often, especially with music, because music moves us, right? There's something about music that's just awesome. We love music, and especially your guys' generation, I mean, music is huge. In fact, it's, you know, on the bad side of the music, it's like one of the gods of your culture. People worship it. On the good side, I mean, God created music, and music in itself, in and of itself, is good, right? He created it. He gave us the abilities. He gave us the some of us incredible talents in music. In fact, our band was just awesome today, and we enjoyed it, right? And we were using music to glorify God. But for some reason, we'll say stuff that we would never say normally because it's in a song. So we'll sing a song, we'll sing it over and over. And what you don't realize it is that every song has a message. And so we call that in the church, we call that preaching. When there's a message, it's preaching, right? So there's a message in movies, there's a message in the sitcoms, there's always messages all over the place. There's messages in our education system, you know, we're giving messages. and it's not necessarily the do this, do that message. It's sometimes it's the way we do it that we communicate a message. Well, here's one of the big songs that's on right now from LMFAO. All right? Lots of kids sing this. You know, you go into the school, and if you walk through it, guaranteed you're going to hear this either in someone's iPod or someone just kind of like... Eh. All right, so Darcy's going to come up, and he's going to read you the lyrics to... Yes. No. What's the title?
I have no idea.
I'm sexy and I know it. Let's give Darcy a hand. Thanks. Man. Awesome. So you guys realize what just happened here, right? We have just ruined that song for you forever. Yes. All right, settle down. We're going to go to small groups in like 2 minutes. Just going to wrap this up, okay? Hey, guys, listen up, please. Hello? So here's the deal. Some of you guys know the words of this song already. This is the stuff you've been listening to. This is the stuff that's going into your mind. This is exactly what Paul is talking about. Don't allow this stuff, not even a hint of sexual immorality, into your mind. This stuff's garbage. It's preaching to you. And you're just swallowing it up, and you even know the words. Like, can you guys memorize my sermon? No, I guess if I preached it enough, right? And here's the thing. Hey guys, here's the thing. What's going to happen right now is some of you guys are going to be a little bit offended, okay? Because music is your God, and you would rather worship music and allow it into your mind than worship God, okay? Because some of this stuff is garbage. I'm not saying all music is bad or secular Christian, blah, blah, blah. That's not where I'm going, okay? I'm saying when there's music like this, you need to check the lyrics. Listen, read them and see what you're putting into your mind. Because the excuse can't be used that, oh, I didn't know they were saying that. I was just singing along kind of deal. That's stupid, right? It's just stupid. And so that's going to be offensive to some of you because you worship music. And you're like, no, I'm not giving up that stuff. That's because it's an idol in your life. All right, we're going to finish up what Paul, we're just going to skip down to verse 15 here. So now he's summing it up. So, from what we've been talking about, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, right? Think about stuff. Think about what you're putting in your mind. Think about some of the jokes that are going around and that you need to kind of go like, nah, I'm not going to be a part of that. Think about it. But understand what the Lord wants you to do. See, this is part of what being a Christian is about. Yeah, it's honoring God, but it's also trying to figure out, okay, what is honoring to God? Like, how do I need to act? How do I need to do to be this person that's supposed to be becoming like Jesus for my life? So you need to understand what the Lord wants you to do. So we need to go to small groups right now, but here's the deal. You can't understand what God wants you to do unless you read it, right? Or hear about it. So lots of you guys are like, I don't know what that is. But hey guys, just settle, we're not going yet, okay? Well, give me a minute here. I want to pray for you first. So if you want to know what God's will is and what he wants for you and how he wants you to live your life, it's all in here. Like he wrote this book so that we would use it. so that we would understand how to live life and that we would be able to honor him and it would benefit us. See, there's two paths that lead to life that Paul's talking about in this last verses. There's this foolish path and a wise path. There's a path that leads to death and leads to sin and death, and a path that leads to life. We want to take the path that leads to life. Because the path that leads to life, it's hard, it's difficult. We might get made fun of by our friends. It goes against what our culture is preaching at us, like huge, like exactly opposite. And it's hard. But the payoff is huge. The payoff is awesome. The path that leads to death, well, it's saying, you know what? I've heard all this stuff, but I'm just going to choose to walk my own way, to think the thoughts I want to think, and to do the things that I want to do, to delve into sin and to go deeper in. That's the path that leads to death. Like, it's not a good path. It's not going to benefit you. Sin destroys us. God's warning throughout his word is, you know, try to steer away from it. That's why he gave us Jesus. That's why the cost was so huge, that Jesus gave his life for us so that he could take us off the path of death and put us on the path of life. So here's the last, kind of the last thought. Sexual immorality that kills. Okay, we talked about path of life, path of death. Here's what kills. It's unrepentant, ongoing, habitual style of sexual sin that will nullify your chances of inheriting eternal life. Right, what we just read. This isn't my made-up statement. This comes right from what we just read about not being part of Christ's kingdom. Okay, so this is a big deal. This is why this is an important series. This is why this is an important talk. This is life and death stuff. There's two paths. We want to choose the path of life. So if you have been involved in this, in sexual sin, if you're like, yeah, you know what, I've built an altar in my temple to the god of sex, or the god of music for that matter, because we talked about that today as well, it's not over for you. Okay? Jesus offers forgiveness if we repent and turn away from our sin. If we chase after Jesus, yeah, we're going to fall, we're going to mess up. Happens. We're all guilty of that. We know that. But the point is that we get up after we fall and we turn around and we walk towards Jesus and receive his forgiveness and move on. All right, I want to pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these students. I love these students. They're awesome. It's why I'm a youth pastor. It's why you called me to this. You put this love in my heart for them. And Lord, I just pray that their ears would be opened and their hearts would be open and soft towards your word and what you have to say. Lord, we really do. We want to honor you with our choices and we want to live a wise life. We don't want to be a fool. We don't want to walk the path of death. Lord, we want to walk the path of life because we know your promises that you promise are just awesome. That you promise to give us life and life to the full, and that's what we want. So Lord, I just pray that you would impress upon these teenagers here tonight that you love them, you created them, and you desire them to be in relationship with you, and you want them to chase after these things because you know that it'll benefit them and it'll be good for them. And Lord, I just pray that they would be able to have a little taste of that as they turn their lives and turn their hearts towards you. Be with them in small groups. Give our small group leaders wisdom as they go through some of the questions. And Father, be with us this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.